My name is Alan. I am a very grateful believer in Jesus Christ and finding some victory over codependency. Still struggle with control and worry.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to rock and roll? All right, here we go. I was born in Long Beach, California, was raised there and spent the majority of my life in that area until the last about 6 years. I was an only child, and I remember my childhood to be as normal as you would think one should be. My mom worked for the Long Beach Police Department. My dad was an LA County fireman and did carpenter work on his days off, usually with the other firemen he worked with. My years through grammar school, junior high, and high school seemed to be about as status quo as most kids experience in the 60s and 70s. That gives you an idea about how old I am. As I would get into the junior high through college years, there were times that I could be very selfish, moody, and sometimes mean in my relationships with others. That mostly manifested itself towards my immediate family and dating relationships. This behavior would be a struggle throughout my life and probably contributed a great deal to my issues with control, codependency, and worry. The next chapter for me was meeting my future wife for the first time at a Christmas dinner at the fire station. Both our dads worked at the same station, and I became smitten with her immediately. And she's here tonight, too. We began dating soon after this, and she asked me to attend church with their family. It didn't take long for me to realize that what Romans 3:23 says was extremely true in my life, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It became obvious to me that Christ died for my sins, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior at that time. This was a huge change for me because even though I did go to church some and believed in God when I was young, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. Soon after I trusted in Christ, my wife and I got engaged, and we were married at a young age. We became involved at church as deacons and in the leadership in the new marriage class, and I was being discipled by a godly pastor who was our class leader. We started our family, had two sons, and embarked on our life as a Christian family together. It seemed to me that I was on my way to serving and living for God and being the man, husband, and father I was supposed to be. In retrospect, though, things have not gone the way I thought they would in my life, my marriage, and my family. As the years progressed and I was attempting to find my niche in a career that I could sink my teeth into, those same issues of being self-centered, controlling, and lashing out were being fed and growing deeper inside of me. My behavior was having a devastating effect on my relationship with my wife and our marriage. I was driving a wedge in our relationship so deep that nothing short of God's miraculous work was going to be able to keep it together. He did keep us together, but those were very difficult years. Conversely, in the same time period, my business career was taking off, and it seemed that I had found a right fit for my strengths. It had always been my belief that my identity as a man and provider was directly tied to my career and striving to be the best at what I did, and then the financial security would follow. God was allowing this to take place, and our family was being blessed, and I was thankful. But in reality, I was slowly becoming more reliant on my own abilities. Without realizing it, I was taking control of these key areas of my life, essentially telling God that I knew best and for him to sit on the sideline until the next crisis appeared. At the time, little did I know that life-changing events and crisis were coming in the years ahead. I would continue to pour more time and energy into my work because more would equal increased security and financial stability. That's what I thought, but at what cost, though? The cost would be on the most important areas of my life, my relationship with the Lord, continued strain in our marriage, and precious time lost with my sons and my boys. Wasn't I being the right role model as a Christian husband and dad? Well, in my mind, I thought more often than not I was, but that was my own flawed thinking. Our family life continued for the most part in the same pattern as our sons grew up through high school. There was continued difficulty in our marriage, and as a result, I would pour more of myself into work. I was getting a false sense of security that when the rest of my personal life was unbearable, I could run to the one safe place that would give me peace and security, which was my job. What a fool. I was placing that idol where God should have been in my life. I have also come to realize that there were other areas of sins and habits that were being harvested within me. Pride and being judgmental of others. All those years, I had never really felt that these were areas of weakness for me personally and would condemn others for being arrogant, prideful, and judgmental. Nevertheless, internal pride in my own accomplishments and judging others was creeping into my heart. These areas of dysfunction, coupled with just going through the motions in my Christian life, were setting a bad precedent and a foundation for what lie ahead. Before I continue on with the story, I wanted to share with you some behavior and events that I'm not very proud of. It was a part of my teenage years going into junior college. Most of you probably don't know that I picked up a nickname in high school that actually carried with me through my adult life, even up to this point. And it's Mad Dog. Now you're probably going, yeah, right, you know, and that kind of stuff too. You're telling stories. Well, I've got proof that on my license plate says for Mad Dog. So it is true. I did pick up a nickname of Mad Dog in that time period. My friends gave me this name simply because many times I would get a wild look in my eyes and they would wonder what crazy thing I was going to do next. This wild behavior played a part in actions that spanned a couple of years through high school and junior college. There was a guy that was a year older than the group I hung out with, and he was a little different than we were, but we tolerated him because he made us laugh. He wanted to be a part of the group so bad that he would put up with our constant teasing and hazing, and nowadays it would definitely be considered bullying. These scenarios gradually escalated to where we would take advantage and treat him badly, but supposedly all in fun, or so we thought. There was one particular night that I remember out of the many nights, unfortunately, that sticks out of my mind, and in retrospect, it makes me ashamed about my involvement. We had gone to a large public park in Long Beach where I lived, and I had a dune buggy at the time. And we basically told him to get out of the dune buggy, and I proceeded to chase him through the park illegally. So, talking about chasing somebody in a car and dune buggy. Didn't try to hit him or run over him, but it was just the games we were playing. Yes, I broke the law by driving recklessly in all the areas not designated for vehicles, not to mention chasing this guy. As he stopped running and got out of breath, we then coerced him to get on the merry-go-round, and we spun him around until he got sick. It's not a pretty picture. Unbelievably, he still wanted to hang out with us because of his basic desire to belong to a group of guys, and we took advantage of that over and over. You fast forward that now to my point in my CR journey where I had done my inventory and was beginning to make amends to others. The Holy Spirit was reminding me of this time period and my part in this demeaning and cruel behavior to this guy who is someone that God loves. I felt compelled to call him to let him know that I was sincerely sorry for how I had treated him. Not knowing how he would react, much less forgive me, that part wasn't up to me. I asked him if he would forgive me, and he graciously did. We then had a long conversation about what had been happening in both our lives these many years, and it was a good time. He even shared how God was working in his life and how he relied on him. What a blessing that conversation meant to me that night, and God gets that glory. In the early 2000s, my family and I suffered some devastating personal losses. In 2004, my mom went to be the Lord, as a result of a rare form of cancer and a stroke. In 2010, my father-in-law took his place in heaven because of the same cancer and other multiple complications. And in 2015, my dad joined them. My dad joined them both after a struggle with the severe form of dementia. In the same time period, our older son was becoming involved in a band, music scene, and the whole drug culture. He ultimately realized he needed help and successfully navigated through the Teen Challenge program determined to change his life, and he did for a time. But what it had developed in those difficult years trying to help our son were codependent patterns within me that would lead to a devastating circumstances in the near future. In 2007, my wife and I had made a decision to make a life change and relocate to Tualatin from Southern California. While this process was being planned and beginning to be implemented, my older son was creeping back into the self-destructive lifestyle that he had overcome several years earlier. This direction for him began slow and subtle, and even included getting a job working at a famous Southern California chopper manufacturer. At first, this seemed to be a positive career path for him, but it didn't pan out, and it ended very badly. As he began to slide more and more back into the music scene and his addictive behaviors, he was becoming an expert at deceit, lying, and emphatically denying he had the same problem as before. Sometimes our family and I would try to believe him, and other times it wouldn't fly. My son was watching carefully how I was reacting, and he saw a glaring weakness in me, which was full-blown codependency, which resulted in my enabling him like never before. What was to transpire in my relationship with my son in the next few years was nothing short of astonishing. He began to weave some of the most unbelievable scenarios about what was happening and taking place in his life in order to get what he needed from me, which was money and ultimately a lot of it. The picture he was painting about his circumstances began in similar fashion to what we had heard years earlier, but I couldn't buckle my seatbelt fast enough for what was to transpire. If you can imagine the most intense, surreal, and bizarre Hollywood script that could be produced, this was taking place between us. It didn't take long for my wife and younger son and in our family to see through the lies. For me, it was a whole other story. He was reeling me in hook, line, and sinker. He knew every button and emotion to push with me, and it put me on my heels ultimately on a daily basis. I was hopelessly trying to fix him and save him from these fabricated daily crisis scenarios, and it was taking a toll on him, myself, my marriage, and my family. The devastation was widespread, and it was transforming me into an emotional, physical, hollowed-out wreck. I had become totally deceitful to my wife and family about what I was doing every day by destructively enabling my son. Out of all the heartaches in my life with the loss of my mom, my dad, and my father-in-law through the years, I was able to somehow be able to cope and move on, sometimes by leaning on God, but more often by pouring myself into work. This time, though, I had become totally broken and brought to my knees in every area of my life. There seemed to be no way out of this spiral. I prayed for God to miraculously take me out of this mess with hopefully minimal consequences to pay. But I was living that true definition of insanity by repeating the same irrational behavior over and over, expecting a different outcome. Well, the inevitable happened, and we received a call from our son that he had been arrested and was in jail for the first time. And that would be the first of several times to follow. With the help of a police officer that he and our family knew when he was in jail the first time, we were given the news that the things he was claiming to be true were not taking place. That revelation was in one way a blessing and relief, but it forced me to make a decision. I had to admit to my family of the financial devastation I had caused and was still causing, with the thinking I was saving my son and family from the horror he was portraying to be reality. It just wasn't true. And I had to take the majority of our retirement funds to pay for the damage that had been done, that I did. For a guy who most of his life was working towards being successful in business and building some retirement, this was devastating. It had become one of my idols and a form of security. After this event, I reluctantly came to celebrate recovery because I was strongly encouraged by my family that I needed help. And they're laughing over there. I didn't think I needed that, but I didn't have a choice at that point. My bargaining chips were all gone. After attending a couple of meetings, I was under the familiar illusion that my issues weren't that bad because some of the other guys were really messed up a lot more than me, obviously. It wasn't going to be a big deal for me. like other times in my life, I would come for a little while, get fixed, move on with my life. It was going to be a piece of cake. Shock of the century, that was not the way it was going to work for me. I found that I was a broken mess and needed to let God heal me and be committed to see real change in my life. And it was truly amazing the acceptance, support, and love I received in my CR men's group. They strongly encouraged me to go through a step study and that this would help me take the next path in my journey of recovery. I agreed and joined with a group of incredible guys. As my step study progressed, my son got out of jail and began subtly asking me for help, just so he could get on his feet. I began to fall back in the familiar trap of codependency and control, thinking I was just helping him out a little bit. I knew it was wrong and tried to end it, but the blackmailing process began, and I was stuck again. Will this madness never end? Well, I wasn't willing to do it. God did it through a fateful phone call from my son on Super Bowl night in front of my wife and family, and it was obvious what he wanted. And I hadn't stopped enabling him, and I was given an ultimatum that night to show proof by the next day if I was telling the truth or was continuing the deceit. Needless to say, it was a sleepless night for me. With no options, I was forced to come clean about my continued involvement in enabling my son. I had to agree to every form of accountability and transparency you can imagine. There would still be more pain to endure, though. My son unleashed his full fury, not only in me, but my wife and our family this time, because it was out in the open. For some months, it was gut-wrenching on us all. And it got to the point where we thought, that he would end up dead of an overdose or in prison. I was totally broken and realized I couldn't fix him or myself. There was nowhere to turn. But give my life and my son. Sorry. That's okay. I got it. Nowhere to turn. I had to give my life and my son's life totally to the Lord. I did what I couldn't and wouldn't do before in my life, which was finally let go of control of all these things and then wait for God to work. Regardless of what the outcome was going to be, I had to trust him for what was to play out. This was one of the hardest things I would ever do because I was the one that always knew best. I remember literally cringing and sobbing, waiting for God to drop his hammer on me and our family. Proverbs 3:5-6 is very true. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Well, amazingly, God didn't drop the hammer, and I was beginning to experience his peace and comfort. He was in control now, a place he always wanted to be. And I realized God knew what was best for my life. It was beautiful what he was doing. There were very specific answers to prayers that were taking place, and he was protecting my son from complete disaster. Then the news we had hoped to hear, my son finally hit his bottom and admitted he needed help, and he checked into a solid rehab program, and it was a true blessing at that time. It took for me to finally realize I couldn't fix him and let him go into God's hands for God to work in my son's life for his purpose. That is exactly what he is doing right now. My son has been clean and sober for nearly 5 years. He's thinking and acting like a responsible adult, and he has even found a career in the recovery industry, if you can imagine that. He knows it well. Even though there are difficult challenges and consequences for him to overcome, God has been there for him every step, pursuing him, and very, very clearly walking with him through each hurdle. The Lord loves him more than I can ever imagine. We're very blessed. Now I was looking forward to a season of rest and to continue to grow in Christ. I was becoming more involved in CR and in leadership, and I will tell you, it is very special to be able to see other men's lives being changed by Christ through this recovery program. I had also begun to go through a discipleship with a great guy here at Rolling Hills, and trust was also being restored with my wife and family. But God had some more chiseling to do in my life that I wasn't prepared for. Yet another area that I put too much security and faith in was shaken, which was my job security. Through a set of circumstances out of my control, my Northwest territory was closed, and I was laid off and out of work. It was a gut-wrenching 4 months looking for a job, and any of our backup funds were gone, mainly due to my poor financial decisions in trying to help my son. Excuse me. Again, I had to trust God totally with an area that I held dear to my heart and my control. I'm sorry. The Lord did come through just at the right time with a perfect job based on my skill set, working for a great company, and my ex-manager who knew me very well. I was finally getting the picture that God knows exactly what he's doing and what I need. He was probably saying to me at that time, "Come on, dude. Haven't I proven myself to you over and over? Just trust me, period. End of story." I'm very thankful for the Celebrate Recovery program and for the wonderful group of guys that came alongside of me at my lowest times. They encouraged me, held me accountable, shed some tears with me, and loved me unconditionally. They were Christ's hands to me, and this has opened up a passion in me to be there for other men walking through this process of recovery together. Jesus Christ has taken my brokenness and has turned it into good for his glory. He is slowly transforming my heart and mind into what he intended for me all along. I think Romans 12:2 says it best for me. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amazingly, my life's passions are literally changing, and I actually anticipate opportunities to be able to share with others what God has done in my life and how he can work in theirs and through the Celebrate Recovery program. To sum things up, in this journey of my life, I'd like to use a comparison of a sports theme. I've been in the stands and probably at the snack bar mostly, while thinking I was following God's game plan. Well, I'm finally getting into the game, and to sum it up, I believe the words from the John Fogerty song says it's best. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Thank you.